Welcome to Shatter the Dark. Lost time? Lost opportunity to serve God? Do you want to be on the road to a productive service to God? Want to be the more effective and productive Christian? Time always seems to be slipping away from you. That's what we're going to be talking about. I'm going to be giving you some habits to help you be productive for God in service without inefficiency for maximum effect. There's many more habits, but I'm going to go over a few that I believe are very important that can get you on the road to thinking about other habits that you need to develop. Some of these are really basic, but really neat and can really help you a lot. Let's get into it. Habit one, time blocking. Take a time block on your calendar from, let's say, 6 a.m. to 6:30. During this time block, what I'm going to do is have a devotional time with God. I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to pray. I'm going to have a specific space available to do this in, and I'm going to make my family aware of this time. I'm also going to set an alarm so I don't continually check the clock to see if time is up. I have a tendency to do that, so I set an alarm so I can remain focused. This can be done with all important tasks, but starting your day with God is a great way to get through that rest of the day. To get through the rest of the day. Yes, I said that twice. I like it. Now, Ephesians 5:15 through 16 states, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of God is. Isn't that awesome? Not as unwise, but as wise. So if we block our time to do specific important tasks, this is a wise use of our time. And also, it really starts the day out good. I know I've mentioned that a lot, right? Just don't be unwise with your time. Now, habit number two, phone and computer regulation. Sounds fun, doesn't it? Times of the day you check your email and notifications. How many times a day do you check your email and notifications? Every time an email pops up, do you find yourself going to the email, looking at the email, reading the email, and then deleting two or three other emails? And you're constantly going through the cycle of notifications and emails and texts during the day? You need to regulate this. Let people know, I'm checking my email, text, notification, phone calls during these times of day. I have these blocks of time set aside for focused work that I need to do and accomplish. I will be checking during these times my email, text, notifications. And setting your phone to focus during these times also helps not to disturb you during a time block or when you're working. It also helps to keep you from picking up your phone and inadvertently getting focused, whether intentionally or accidentally, on doom scrolling on social media. Set a time, a small time block of 15 minutes maybe, just to go through your social media, depending on what you do. All social media apps put on the last screen you swipe to. I always put them on the last screen. I don't want to put my social media on the first screen because that is not as high as a priority as other things. And God wants us to prioritize and to be wise with our time so we can serve Him effectively and efficiently. And in order to do that, we have to start some of these habits. They're not hard habits to do. Start out small. Set a little small time in the morning for your devotional to God. Quit checking your phone except during specified times of day. Because all hard work brings a profit, but mere talk leads only to poverty. Proverbs 14, verse 23. And today, our social media can be busy communication, not productive communication, or even worth seeing communication. Because sometimes social media does not give you the best of news. People are not on there praising God. People are not on there except to exhibit some very, I'm better than you, or you're better than me, or arguing. That's not very uplifting. So some social media is, don't get me wrong, but making a positive determination to set time aside to do it during a specified time versus just picking up your phone randomly when you start getting notifications and accidentally finding yourself in a situation where you're doom scrolling and not even realizing it, or even playing a game. My mom likes to play games on the phone. Habit number three, organization. Now, organization is very important. And let me explain that to you. What I'm going to talk about organization is workspaces. And if a workspace that is clean and you know where everything is, you could close your eyes and reach for specific items that you use during the day. That's a good thing. That's less stress. That's what organization does. It gives you less stress. It's a little bit of work up front, yes. But at the back end of that, it's a lot less work. And if you just spend a two-minute task type thing to keep your desk organized each day, that will really help and keep you organized. And this also works for your hobbies, kitchen, car. If you have tools in a specific place in your car, or you've organized things in your kitchen to where you could almost close your eyes and grab whatever you needed because you know where it is. And this even works on your computer, because when you put files on your computer and you organize those files, and not all the documents are spread all over in different folders, and you don't, but you name them and organize them, and you know where to go to find those specific files, that makes your life so much easier. You don't have to hassle about looking for something. And also, organization can include using your phone calendar to organize your day. There's apps that connect with your phone calendar that you can use in conjunction with your phone calendar to update your tasks, to update your time blocks of different things that you're doing during the day. And how should you organize this time? There's a quick system that I learned, I think it was college, or maybe I was just reading a book, but it's called the Eisenhower Matrix. And it's really kind of simple in common sense, really, and how you do tasks. You can look it up, get a little bit more information, but tasks that you set up, the Eisenhower Matrix has four levels. And those levels are urgent and important. Those are the type of things that you have to do immediately that need to get done pretty much now. Important and not urgent. Schedule these things for a specified time block. Urgent and not important. Delegate or automate. If they're urgent, but they're not really that important, maybe you can delegate them to somebody else. You can set that down during the time after you've done the important and not urgent and the urgent and important. What if it's not urgent and not important? Maybe this is where you just let go of unnecessary tasks. Maybe it's that simple. Maybe these are things you're doing you don't even need to be doing. Because if they're not urgent, they're not important, they're not doing anything, it just gives you something to think about. I know I've thought about that too. Now, habit four is very important. And I can tell you a couple of things about this habit. Building a repeatable system allows you to work and also allows you to delegate out that work. When you create systems when you first start learning, it's a little bit clunky. But as you get the system down and you've got the system going, you don't even think about it anymore. You know the system. So you don't have to intentionally think about it. You already know. So building a system. For instance, I had an employer where when we got a new employee, they needed to learn effectively and efficiently and very quickly how to do their job. Well, I was needed to create standard operating procedures, basically step by steps, so that when a new employee came on, they knew what they needed to do. They knew what their responsibilities were. We didn't necessarily have to sit with them. We could hand them the standard operating procedures. They could go through them and do their job. In addition to that, we didn't just leave them by themselves. We also, I would appoint maybe a senior member of our team to assist them if they had any questions or anything they needed answered. And sometimes I'd even go to them and said, what did I leave out? Could I have made that standard operating procedure better for you? But having that system in place, they were able to quickly and efficiently learn how to do the job and start doing the job quickly because it was inventory. Inventory, we needed a lot of people. We needed to do a lot of people working efficiently because there was a lot of inventory. So yes, setting up a system makes life a lot easier. It's repeatable. And you can teach other people because it's written down. For instance, when I was younger, I worked for the American Red Cross. And those blood drive trucks to a church, and then they set up inside the church and they allow people to donate blood. I was the driver. And the thing about this was, we had a system. In fact, everything in the back of that truck was organized. In fact, every truck that we had basically had the same item in the same place on each truck, and each of the toolboxes or carts or whatever had the tools and certain things in them, and they had them in the exact drawers on each one of the trucks. So not only could we load the truck efficiently, know when we did inventory to get the truck up and ready, so we didn't get to a blood drive and not have what we needed so the nurses could perform the duties by taking blood and saving lives. So we were able to have a system in place to efficiently load and unload the truck. And when we got there, the nurses even helped us unload at times, because if we had a bigger, larger blood drive, the nurses had to help because one or two people ain't going to do that. And they would get up there and I didn't have to tell them what to do or where to get something or what was needed. And when we set things up, we knew exactly when we set them up, we knew exactly what to set next to where and where it was going to be needed. So it was very efficient. The nurses and I never had to discuss this. We set up a system. We set up a process. It's really handy. It's just repeatable. And God lets us know in Colossians about how and for whom we are serving. Colossians chapter 3, 23 through 24, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. This is by far not everything you need to know or all the habits you need to know. But these are some of the things that you can quickly get up. You can use your calendar phone. You can set up block times, turn off your notifications, set up focus times. This will help build your personal and your work life. But additionally, this will give you time for God. So if you need more time to do a certain thing. You're helping out at church, or you have a service ministry that you're doing at the church, or if that's what your job is. By doing these things, it'll make it more effective and efficient, and you can serve people. First, service God, but by servicing God, you're servicing people. And this will help transform how you do things. I want to point out that learning all these productive habits, first, we need to focus on the transformation of our mind through prayer and the study of the Bible. What this is not is a self-help guide. This isn't a guru telling you to hurry up, do these great habits. Your life is going to change. If you get up at 3 o'clock in the morning and make 3 pancakes, whatever, it's just whatever the thing is that makes your life totally change. What makes your life totally change is God. And God is the one that's going to transform you. Not 3 dozen self-help books to become efficient. Now, we want to improve our abilities and we want to learn. We can do that. But make sure you're not going down a self-help, me-focused learning binge. You're looking to God, not a self-help guru, to transform you. This is a service to God, that we're servicing God, okay? I don't want this to turn into a self-help guru thing. Really appreciate it if you would go ahead and subscribe and comment. I totally am horrible at something. Give me some constructive criticism, please. I'm learning. Getting behind a microphone and a camera is not something I've done too often. Just wanting to bring this out so I can help people. I want to help you get a little bit better at things and maybe help you with habits that we went over today so your life easier. So you can service God. That's what we're here for. Now, as Christians, we are on a journey to serve God. Making our journey easier is the best thing to do. But of course, let's study, develop together, and give our praise to God for what He has given us. And here's a couple more habits that I'm just going to go over real quick. A 2-minute task habit. Simple things that could be done in 2 minutes. So something that you can clean up a little end table in 2 minutes while you're watching TV, that type of thing. Do 2-minute tasks. Get them out of the way. Take mindful breaks. Again, focus. Put do not disturb on your phone and focus your time during these mindful breaks. Going for a walk and praying. Taking that time to walk, pray, and think. These are some wonderful things that you can do for mindful breaks. That's just using your time wisely. And I really like to appreciate you for listening to Shadow of the Dark podcast. My sincere hope is that this is a blessing to you and that something in this will help motivate you and others to be of service to God. Love you guys.